Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every morning, Darren Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from veto to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to an update. Today's update in the afternoon. I'm here today to update you on what happened on the latest drop of content for Big Brother Canada 11. I'm of course, your host, Darren Armstrong. And we're here at a semi-regular time. We barely made it this time, but here at around 3 p.m. Eastern, noon my time. And we have some stuff to talk about on the latest drop here. This drop was for, today is March 15th, but the drop, content comes from March 14th yesterday, which I believe is something along the lines of day 12-ish. So let's talk about it because there's actually some stuff to talk about here. You might actually want to hear about it. A lot of moving pieces. We're getting a sense of some gameplay that we had not been able to see before. So let's get straight into it. Of course, Santina is the HOH. She nominated Dan and Anika for eviction alongside Renee, who lost the dead last competition thing, whatever. Ty won the veto. He used it on Anika, and Santina backdoored JM. JM, John Michael, was upset about this because, you know, she promised him safety. He didn't want to go. He had a conversation with Santina the day before, which I updated you on yesterday, where he essentially explained to her, like, I genuinely wanted to work with you. I don't know why you're doing this. This is kind of wild. And that's kind of where things stood. Most people talking about taking JM out. It's not looking very good for JM. So we started this drop with a conversation between JM and Kuzi. He thinks he can get the numbers. He says that he needs to know where Daniel and Anika stand because as far as he knows right now, they're kind of still undecided. He says to Anika, listen, I planted a seed with Zach because I think that Zach is really dangerous. JM says, I think Zach was the one that was behind Santina's move. She's the only person, or Kuzi is the only person he's telling that to. He says, I'm only telling this to you. So if you're playing me, Kuzi, I'm screwed. But basically, he had this conversation with Santina, and she said to him, and this is, again, what I updated you on yesterday, that, you know, people were telling him things. And through that conversation, apparently, it came out that, you know, JM said to her, again, I wasn't coming for you. And now he believes that Zach is the one that convinced her to target him. He may have even talked to Santina about Zach. So he says, look, I think there's a side that's already formed. He says, again, I planted a seed with Santina and Zach that I wanted to work with them. Santina told me that's a lot to consider, and she's playing the angle that somebody got in her ear. He says, if I do stay, we need to create an alliance to oppose them because they already have a side. Kuzi asks who he thinks the side is. And he says, I don't know. But I think Zach, Rob, Shania, they're locked in votes against me. He thinks Ty is a part of it, but only to save himself. So he's on to Zach, but his reads are still not quite there. He says later he's only been talking game for the last 24 hours. So he's really playing catch up here. He says with Kuzi and with you at Kuzi, Anika and Daniel, I would have three. And then maybe I could get Hope and Vanessa. He thinks Vanessa might want to vote out Renee. So maybe that could work. He says maybe I could get Jonathan too, or maybe I could get Ty and Claudia. He says, Hope still thinks he can get Rob to keep me, but I don't know about that. And that's kind of Jam's conversation with Kuzi for now. So things moving a little bit here. That's when we cut to the real sort of happenings of this drop. We cut to Renee, Claudia, Shania, and Santina. All talking in the backyard. Or really, you should call it a warehouse more than anything. There's no, I mean, the backyard is like the hot tub, if you think about it. But anyway, they're talking about how they've noticed a shift in the guys. They've noticed that, Santina in particular has noticed that Zach has really been up Anika's butt all day. I don't know what that's up. What's up with that? They talk about how they need to make sure that a woman doesn't leave next week because they're already down in numbers after Amal left. And, you know, a guy's going to leave this week, hopefully. So they just have to make sure that a guy leaves again next week. Fairly standard women's alliance-y kind of talk at this point. Nothing too major. Claudia talks about how she knows that Ty is clearly not telling her things. And they think, you know, in terms of guys they could work with, maybe Hope or even maybe Jonathan could work with them. They're not sure. They talk to Santina. They say, listen, Santina, we feel like it's been hard to talk to you because the guys have been all over you. And Santina says, I hear that. Listen. I had a conversation with JM and he made me understand that I wasn't his target. And me putting him up, yes, it was a little bit my idea, but people telling me things got in my head. And I'm realizing now that maybe he actually was with me. You don't say. Apparently, JM's conversation, if we're to understand it correctly, actually got through to Santina. And she's starting to question everything that has been happening this week. Renee says to her, you realizing that people got in your ear and not just pretending like it was your move is so valuable to us because they won't know that we've picked up on all of this. Claudia says, exactly. They think that us three are all like, da 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 da. Santina says she worries that Anika is their new pawn because she feels grateful that she was saved by Ty. Renee says, well, Kuzi and Anika are close, but the problem is that Anika doesn't know how to play the game. Claudia thinks Kuzi is for the girls, so that could be good for them. And Claudia says, yeah, these guys, they really think they're running this game and dictating what's happening. Santina says, yeah, you know what? This is what I think happened. I gave my word to Dan and Anika that they would be safe this week. I told them to trust me. But I think that like somehow that switched and turned into them trusting the guys and not me. And now they're giving all their loyalty to them because they're very good at talking. I think they're playing me. Or like I'm stupid. They're using whoever's in power to make their moves. I mean, where did this Santina come from? That's exactly what's happening. I mean, that's exactly the playbook. You use the HOH. They make the enemies. You reap the rewards. She's recognizing that it's happening. Renee says she doesn't want the guys to realize they're catching on. And that's when Shania brings up the idea of, listen, I did promise Dan and you, Renee, that I would keep you both. But I mean, is it worth considering? Should we keep JM? If we do, he would ride with us, right? And he would work against the guys. And he would be he'd be a target for them still. Like, should we consider this? Renee is like, yeah, are we ready to draw that line right now, though? Because if we save JM, they're going to be pissed and they're all going to know. Claudia says, well, if we don't save JM, then Dan stays in the game. And the thing with Dan is I've seen him in intense conversations with Zach. I don't think we can trust Dan at all. But they are worried. The guys are going to be so pissed. But they have to do what's best for their game. So should they save JM? They're not sure. Santina says, I don't want to be on the block next to JM next week if we make this move. Like, that would suck. So do they do what the guys want this week? And just kind of hope that they can make something happen next week? Or do they take a risk? They've got to come back to this conversation because they're out in the open right now. They've been talking too long. That's the end of this conversation. They do not come to a conclusion, but they have brought up the idea of potentially trying to save JM and certainly working against the guys overall. Here we are. So, with that in mind, Santina goes, she ends up in the like Circle K room or whatever. She interrupts Zach and Anika. They were talking. She asks them what they were talking about. And this is genuinely a hilarious scene because we know from yesterday that Anika was considering voting to keep JM. She felt like Dan's pitch was terrible. And she was like, maybe we should keep JM. That's when Koozie gave Ty the warning, hey, you should talk to Anika. She's thinking about keeping JM. And after that, apparently, Zach has been on Anika all day, which has made Santina annoyed. Lo and behold, Santina comes in to Zach and Anika, and she says, what are you talking about? And Anika is saying, you know, I'm realizing now that JM has only come to me when he feels in danger. So I don't know. And it's just very clear that Zach has been working on her all day and has convinced her that JM is not worth saving and that he's only coming to her. He's very clearly just regurgitating Zach's words in this moment. And to make it even more clear, right after she says that, Zach says, yeah, for me, it's a lesson. You know, I wouldn't want to go out that way. The way that JM is going out. I wouldn't want to go out that way. You know, just being so negative. Santina says, I'm not really getting that from him. I'm not really getting that negativity from JM. Zach says, oh, well, you know, I've been hearing that he's been speaking negatively. So, you know, Santina says, oh, you've been hearing that. So what has he been saying? Just sort of that, like, I don't know. He talks out of both sides of his mouth. You know, it just doesn't add up. Sometimes I exaggerate, like how a person speaks to sort of give you the gist of what it was. That was a verbatim. That was exactly how he responded to what is he saying? Just sort of that, like, you know, I don't know. He talks out of both sides of his thing is what I said mouth, but he said thing. I mean, it was very funny. It was very funny. So that's what's going on over there. You can clearly see Santina is fed up with Zach and questioning, and she sees him doing it to Anika in front of her, and she's like, okay, what is he actually saying though, dude? And he's got nothing. So meanwhile, JM is still talking to Koozie. JM says, honestly, the fantasy was to work with Santina. I love a woman in power. It's quite silly that this has happened. Kuzi says, well, I mean, it's a good play for the people that want you out because you are a threat to them. It was a terrible move for Santina, though. He says, I need to talk to Ty and Rob. Kuzi says, getting to know JM made her fall in love with him as a person, and it would never be a good move for her to have him leave. Anika joins, and she kind of re-explains that to Anika. JM says to Anika, don't let the wolves fool you. I'm a target already for other people. Let me work for you. He says, I've only been talking game for the last 24 hours. Everyone is saying I'm some sort of mastermind, but the reality is I was literally just being nice to people, and my head was clearly not in the game as much as it needed to be. JM asks if they think people have made up their minds. Kuzi says, some, but minds can change. JM says, look, a backdoor in the first week, it's a powerful move, but a backdoor reversed is even more powerful. Anika says, listen, I don't want to make any promises. I just want you to know that, I've not promised anything. He says, okay, great. I don't want any promises. She leaves. JM apologizes to Kuzi. He says, I'm sorry, Kuzi, that I'm in this position. I really wish we could make something work. Hope joins. And JM says, all right, Hope, when are we going to make an alliance? Hope says, you know where my vote is regardless. So apparently Hope is still promising JM he's going to be a vote for him regardless. Hope asks Kuzi where her vote is. And JM says, she's with me. I'm protecting her no matter what. Hope says, okay, that's two then. Hope asks where Daniel's vote is at, and they're not sure. They say he's in the middle. And JM says, we can make an underdog alliance, guys. We can overthrow them and make it interesting. It would be so fun. Come on. All right. In the meantime, we go to Daniel and Anika. We're finally going to get a sense of where they stand in the game. And when I tell you, this is easily the best drop of the season so far. This is also a hilarious conversation to me. And we really get a sense of who Daniel is as a player as well, which I'm very pleased with. Anika is saying to Daniel, she knows she's not a target anytime soon. Daniel says, I know I'm not a target either, but you can't float through the game and let other people get power because then you have no power. Remember, Anika is the player that came into the game saying, I haven't really seen any of the show. I'll just wing it and figure it out as I go. Daniel is the super fan. Just keep that in mind. Daniel is saying, I'm not saying we should save him, JM, because I don't think we can, but we're not in a good position just because they're not coming after us right now. Because we're just being used as numbers. And when they get power, we will be the people that they target when they don't want to rock the boat. Anika says, Daniel, you know, you just need to start talking to them about game and get in with them more. She says, you can't trust JM. He's too good with his words. And Daniel says, listen, I definitely don't trust JM, but I also don't trust the boys. Anika, can you really sit here and tell me that they're not all working together? Anika says, I don't think they're all a tight thing. I think they're all just kind of following the main people. And Daniel says, well, who are they following? She says, Zach and Ty. Says, okay. Says, look, I see myself. Listen, this is how I see. I see myself as a middle person. I see you as a middle person. Maybe you're more in with them than I think. And she says, I think I am. I think I am more in with them than you think. Okay. He says, but listen. Me, you, Vanessa, I think, Kuzi, we're all kind of in the middle. And then maybe people like Hope and Jonathan are people that would also be in the middle. And if we come together, that's like six, maybe we could get seven. That's a lot of people. That could be powerful. Anika says, I think right now it's good to be a floater. And then we can get Renee out next week. And the boys, they'll turn on each other and they won't bother taking us out. Daniel, I know you have seen more Big Brother than I have, but you know things change. And Daniel's like, I think we're in a much more dangerous position than you think. She says, you just need to talk to Zach more. He goes, oh, Zach. Daniel says, listen, they may be talking to you, but if you are not in a named alliance with them, they're just using you. And I guarantee you, there are named alliances in this house. She says, well, what's the named alliance then? He says, I don't know. That's the point. We're not in it. She says, okay, but listen, after JM leaves, there's no division. He says, that's not good. We want division. We need there to be a division. We need others. Listen, our ideal situation is that other people in this house decide they want to keep JM. Not us, so that a division forms without us having to form it. That's what we want. At this point, Zach comes in and interrupts the conversation. And he asks about, hey, what's JM been up to? And Anika says, oh, he was just talking to me and Koozie. He says, oh, he's really working on the coos, huh? Huh. And then Ty comes in and they play pool and this conversation dissipates. In the meantime, JM is making another pitch, this time to Jonathan with Koozie there. He says to Jonathan, listen, I already have two buy-ins and I'm just making this pitch to people I think would be interested and that I could be loyal to. And I want to be loyal to the people I pitch to. So if you are with me, I only need six and I would fight and I would ride for you guys. Jonathan says, I appreciate that. I think we missed part of this because it's pretty short by the time we get to it. JM leaves. Jonathan says to Koozie, I mean, if he stayed, he'd be a strong asset, but it's already done. Sticking up for him would put you at risk. Koozie says, yeah, I agree. It's heartbreaking though. And then Zach shows up. He's been informed that JM's working on the coups, so he needs to go make sure the coups isn't getting worked on. Last conversation of the drop between Ty and Claudia, our little showmance. They're playing pool for a little while and then eventually they talk a little bit of game. Very awkward conversation between the two of them. He asks her what she thinks about the week. She says, do you want to make a big move or go with the house, Claudia? And she says, I'm not sure yet. We'll see how it goes. You know, we'll see what's good for me. He says, so is there a girls' alliance? What? No? Why are you asking? Why are you getting defensive? I'm not getting defensive. Sound pretty defensive. He says, well, I think you have a boys' alliance. I think you're wrong about that. And it just kind of goes back and forth like that for a little while. Mutual suspicion between the two of them. Strange showmance, but you know, I guess they're making it work. So that's about it. That's what we got from this drop. Some interesting stuff, of course. The main things being that there are essentially three different factions in the house, all vying to potentially keep JM in the game, but none of them feel confident enough to actually go and do it yet. So you've got JM working. He's trying to be an anti-Zach, anti-Santina campaign. And he's trying to pull in Koozie, Daniel, Anika, Hope. And then he's working on Ty, Claudia, and Jonathan as his five, six, and maybe even seven. We know he's not getting Ty and Jonathan. So this is a wasted effort. If anything, it could backfire on him. On the other side of things, you have Daniel and Anika. Anika has been completely snowed by Zach into not trusting JM at this point. He's been working on her all day and she's fully on board with that now. However, she has Daniel on the other side kind of being like, it would be good for us if he stayed, but we couldn't do it ourselves. And he is saying to Anika that he doesn't trust JM. I don't know how true that is, if he's just placating her, but he would clearly be fine if the women approached him about like, let's keep JM. I think he might be open to it, especially because it would be them leading the charge. But as things currently stand, they think there's no chance. Koozie also thinks there's no chance when she's working with JM. And then in the middle of all of that, you have Santina, who has actually been convinced by JM that Zach is no good, and he wasn't coming for her. And so now she's in talks with the women, particularly Claudia, Shania, and Renee, about flipping this game around on the men, and that maybe they could save JM to do that. However, they're going to need people like Koozie, Anika, and Daniel to do it. So that's kind of tricky based on our current sort of the current standings of things, right? So all three of these different like little groupings of people, they all want JM to stay for different reasons, but they're all worried about actually making it happen. So will JM stay? At this point, I would still say it's not super likely. However, it's way more likely that he stays now than it was yesterday, because you do have all these pieces kind of rummaging together. It reminds me a little bit of Johnny's situation in season 6, where there were three different factions that he needed to all convince that it was good for them to keep him around, which he managed to do. That was a harder situation than this one because all three of these factions actually do benefit from JM sticking around. But JM might need to be the one to actually go and smooth all this over. The problem is he does not know the true layout of the house right now, and he's working on the wrong people. So if anything, the women are probably more likely to make this happen at this point because Santina has a much better idea of where people actually stand because of her alignment with the guys. So if the women start working on Koozie and Anika and, you know, maybe Anika, but maybe if they approach Daniel, you know, there's a chance that this could actually move in you know, a direction that keeps JM around. Point though being that at the very least, you know, there is a little bit more resistance to these guys than I think that they would like, certainly. So that's kind of where we are. If I were to try and give you what votes could be there for JM, I think we'd look at probably Shania, Claudia, Koozie. That's three. They need three more. And will they even go for a six, you know, five vote? That's so risky to them in their minds. I think Hope may actually do it, especially if the guys don't think they need his vote. And so they don't feel the need to apply a lot of pressure there. He might just do it, not even realizing how important it is. That would make four. I think the women could get Vanessa, especially if Koozie's on board. That would be five. And then they would need to get one of Daniel or Anika, probably, which could be difficult. But we'll see at this point. Yeah, we'll see. So stay tuned, I guess. Tomorrow, hopefully, we'll get another drop before the eviction. You know, it does seem like a long shot. I agree. Like I said, I think odds are still against JM at this point, for sure. So if the vote were to flip at this point, it would be on Dan. Reason being that they see Dan is too close to Zach. And how hilarious would it be if Zach burns his relationship with JM for no good reason, only to then lose his other person that he has and now have a JM that is against him in the house. I mean, it's a great move for everyone involved if they actually went through with it. It's just a matter of, do they have the guts, really? All right. So that's what we have. Actually interesting stuff. Look at that. Look at that. I will be live tonight on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Watching tonight's episode, I'll be watching Survivor first, and then of course Big Brother Canada will come on after, and then we'll be live with a podcast at around 10:30 Eastern after the Know-It-Alls. So check that out tonight, and then tomorrow I will do my best. I don't know if they're going to release the daily drop again early in the morning, and then we'll have it before the eviction, or if they're going to do something similar to what they did last time where they dropped it after, which would kind of be silly because at that point they're releasing content on something that already happened in the episode. But either way, I'll do my best to get this stuff out there for you. You'll have the best idea of what's going to happen leading into the eviction. And then, you know, we'll see what happens from there. But that's what I've got for you. Thank you all so much for hanging out. Make sure you check out the Last of Us podcast that I did for the finale of The Last of Us. Find me over on Twitter at Armstrong Taren, and check out the YouTube stuff, and Survivor Stock Watch is coming. Lots of good stuff. All right. Thank you all so much for joining me here today. I hope you enjoyed. This is probably the best we've got from Big Brother Canada 11 yet. And it's honestly not that much, but it's, you know, it's we're like, we're getting scraps and we're like, oh, this is like fine dining. Oh, okay. All right. That's what I got. Thank you. See you next time.